Welcome into the Live Rewind podcast, where players and coaches join DP in the garage to talk about a memorable game from their career. They sit down to watch the highlights from Channel 1450 and talk about the game. In this episode, Pleasant Plains' Justin Guernsey talks about the 2019 2A sectional championship against Tremont. This podcast is brought to you by Country Financial. They are big supporters of Channel 1450 and the Live Rewind podcast. Currently, they have scholarship opportunities available for graduates in Sangamon and surrounding counties. See the link in the article for more information. Deadline to apply is March 1st, 2021. If you are looking for insurance, whether it's for your car, home, or life insurance, make sure you check out Country Financial.
All right, this is Justin Guernsey, Live Rewind, Pleasant Plains High School versus Tremont, sectional championship game.
All right, let's talk about this first. Why'd you pick this game of all the games that you've played in so far?
Well, this was my biggest game in high school by far, and it was a grind for us to get here too. And the game before us was wild. We were down at the end, and then we came back. Joel made a shot I forgot who we played, but
West Hancock.
Yeah. And they had that shot at the end. We all held our breath. We thought that was going in. We thought that was game over for us, but we got lucky and moved on, and this is...
So you guys were there. This is the sectional championship. What's the day like leading up to you get to the locker room?
It's nerve-wracking because you obviously don't want to lose, and a big crowd, and Riverton's a huge facility, so we knew the gym was going to be packed and all, but we were all nervous, but we fought through it and ended up winning.
What was the game plan for this game? Because, I mean, you as a sophomore, just kind of walk us over what you guys talked about beforehand.
Well, we knew they didn't have the height like we had, but we knew they were fast guards. They were all quick. They were being our grill, trying to steal the ball from us, getting down the court and as fast as they could. Because I think their biggest guy was like 6'2". And obviously me, Joel, Nick, and Chase, we were all above like 6'4", so we knew we had the height advantage in this game. So,
you personally, were you nervous at all before this one?
I mean, yes, going into my sophomore year, yeah, I was nervous, and I just, yeah, as any sophomore, I guess.
All right, go ahead.
The Hawk Center was hopping on Friday night for the 2A Riverton Sectional Championship. The Pleasant Plains Cardinals looking for their 7th sectional crown and a trip to the UIS Super Sectional on Monday night, where the winner of Bloomington Central Catholic and Gibson City awaits. Joel Nierman carried the Cardinals in the semifinal in a 1-point win over West Hancock. In the title game, their opponent was the Tremont Turks, who beat Riverton on Tuesday night to earn a spot in this title matchup. Plains picked up right where they left off on Wednesday by going to Joel Nierman inside. Through two defenders, Nierman finds a way to the bottom of the bucket.
We knew Joel was taller than anybody and stronger than anybody down in the paint, so we knew once we start feeding him the ball, to start collapsing on him and to get everyone else open looks too. So he was.
Once Joel gets the ball on the block, you know it's pretty much 2 points. But how much do you guys working on getting him the ball, and how important is that entry pass? Because I mean, I feel like it's kind of a lost art in basketball, right?
Yeah, well, because we had always practiced in school or in practice and getting him the ball, and if we mess up, we'd get yelled at. So we knew we had to get the ball, and once you get the ball to him, it's easy game for him if he's got one guy. But if he's got two guys, he looks for me, Savage, Corgan, Gage, whoever else is out there to knock down a shot. So
as you're looking to get him the ball, what offensively do you guys think about in terms of like if he's doubled or if he, like, if your guy sags off, do you kind of
cut to the corners and try to see if we can open or go back door? Because obviously it's one guy will be open if he's got two guys on him, so.
2 minutes in, Plains' offense was looking deadly. Corgan Greer drives and finds Justin Guernsey wide open on the opposite wing. The sophomore splashes home the triple. Cardinals up 8-2. But the Turks would go on a run of their own. Titus Thompson hits a three from the top of the key and has Tremont fired up, back to a 1-point game. Needing a bucket, the Cardinals went.
Yeah, we had a run going, and then it just completely changed. They had their run going, and then it was just a tight game. I think me and Gage both had were in foul trouble, so we were out like most of the half.
And that early on, though, I mean, the team has the confidence in you to take that shot, and you hit it. What goes through your head when you hit that first shot, and you're
I just knew I had to make that shot to get the momentum, keep going. And because we were up for quite a bit. I think we had like a 10-0 run or something like that. And then as basketball games go on, the momentum changed again. So they took the lead. But
does that give you personally more confidence when you hit that first shot and just?
Yeah, especially as a sophomore too. Yeah, so that helped me out a lot throughout this game.
Went back to their workhorse, Joel Nearman on the block, through the defense, and picks up the and one chance. Plays with lead after a quarter as the offense looked relatively balanced. Chase Schmidt hits Nick Savage open at the top of the key. Money for number 20. Plains up 14-9 after a quarter. Start of the second, the Turks were staying scrappy. Off the missed three, Thompson finds the ball in his hands and gets the put back to go down.
Yeah, so they were scrappy. They were getting everything, stealing it from us, up and down the court, wearing us out. That's what they were doing, because they didn't have the height on us, so that's what they had to do.
Ball handling wise, did you feel like you had to step in a little bit more?
Yeah, because me and Savage are normally the ball handlers, and I was out for I think most of that half.
Yeah.
And so I think it was Mason Watson or Mason Williams, one of them two, had to help bring the ball up with Savage, because Gage was out too with fouls, because I think we had some charges and stupid fouls, but.
Yeah. Halfway through the second, Landon Flitterer comes up with a steal, and even though Savage tries to chase him down, he finishes it off to make it 19-18 Plains as the Turks make their run to get right back in it. How do the Cardinals respond? They go inside, of course. Joel Nearman's first attempt is blocked, but he stays with it, powers it up and in.
Yeah, they just Nearman couldn't get a rebound over him.
Fouls and keeps himself in the game. Closing out the half, he avoids the charge, which would give him three fouls, and misses the first attempt, but grabs a board.
So he was in foul trouble. We were all in foul trouble then, I guess. So we had to be careful with fouls in this game.
How much has playing in practice against Joel helped your game in terms of what you can do inside?
Well, I normally didn't guard him because Chase would guard him or Brady would guard him. But if I had him, I knew he was stronger, so I had to stand my ground. But he helped us out a lot because gets everyone else open shots and people double team him. So it was
you offensively trying to score, like when you get into the paint, maybe in practice or whatever. Having that height around you, has that helped you out now?
Yes, that helped, because then I got to change my shot, stay in the air a little longer to make it or get fouled or something. But yeah, since he's got that height and everything, it's helped me out a lot throughout my years.
For two, Plains leads it 25-21 at the break. Nearman has 12 points for the Cardinals. At the half, someone gave Justin Guernsey Michael Jordan's secret stuff from Space Jam. The sophomore was confident and knocking down everything.
We knew at halftime we had to get going because it was a tight game, and me and Gage finally got back out on the court because we had our foul trouble. So I knew I had to keep going, do something, because I was out that first half, so I didn't get to do much to help the team out. But it was a long pep talk, and the coach got mad because we were all getting fouls and all this. So yeah.
Is there something that you see when you're sitting, watching and waiting to get back out there, but at the same time, that gives you a different perspective?
Because we see what they're not good at guarding or what they're good at doing on offense, so we can go back. So coaches talk to us. So Upchurch will talk to us, and then in this game it was really loud, so we had signs actually to tell us what plays we're running and everything. But yeah, we can just see who's their best player and all that. So they were all, that team was all pretty good. They just didn't have the height.
You mentioned coach being mad at halftime. Kind of what did you guys talk about in terms of? Obviously, stay out of foul trouble, but what specifically did
Definitely feed the ball to Joel down low, and it'll look, kick it. He'll look for, if he's got a shot, easy 2 points or and one. And then if not, two people down on him, Savage, me, Gage, Corgan, whoever else out there can knock down a shot for us. So.
Plains opened it up. Corgan Greer finds Nearman on the block. Plains pushes the lead back out to 11, a comfortable double-digit advantage 90 seconds into the third. 2 minutes later, Plains breaks the pressure, and Savage waits for Guernsey, and that's a smart move because he had the hot hand. Elbow jumper is good. Closing out the quarter, tell me if you've heard this before. Savage drives and kicks to Nearman. He lays it up and in. Nearman flexing his muscles as Plains leads Tremont 43-32.
That's when we started going back on our run, and I think that's where the game kind of went in our favor. I don't think we ever looked back from there.
Joel's not really one to show a lot of emotion, so when he does, what does that mean?
It gets everyone else fired up, because when he's showing emotion, that means something happened, and he's I should have been an animal right there.
Yeah.
Three quarters. Turk's trying to tear up the pressure in the fourth to climb back in this one, but Justin Guernsey, if he keeps playing with this confidence, the 217 better watch out for the next.
I always get caught in those Euros for traveling, and it makes me so mad. Because I never personally think a Euro is a travel, but yeah. Refs nowadays think that's a travel, but I don't know.
Is that called a little bit more in the high school game than it is in the AAU game?
AAU, they don't call that at all. It's in high school, it's always being called. It's never really, sometimes they call it, sometimes they don't. It's just.
How hard is it to adjust your game accordingly? Like, you get called for it once, and then you kind of got to
change. Yeah, you know, because Upchurch gets mad at me when I do Euro step. He hates the Euro steps, but it's frustrating, because then they'll call it, but then you can go down and I'll do it some other time, but they won't call it then, so it just.
Step is good. The lead is 13. 90 seconds into the final frame, Savage is looking for that hot hand. Guernsey from the other elbow, it's good. The kid was on fire in the second half, and that made all the difference. The icing on the cake came halfway through the fourth quarter. Savage hits Nierman, and the big man powers his way up for two and gets fouled.
You can just tell he's just so much bigger and stronger than everyone else out there, and we just get him the ball, and I don't remember how much he had, but I'm sure it was up there. But
at this point in the game, they're doing all they can to make sure he doesn't get the ball.
And that's so why
it get harder for you guys.
Yeah, that's why all of us got the, like, that's why I got those open looks, because they knew they had to worry about Joel, because Joel is about 10 times stronger than everyone else out there. So we knew that, like, Savage is open. Like, yeah.
But you came out in the second half and showed that you could drop 25.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, pick what you're going to do.
Yes, because he helps us out a lot with the boards and opening everything up for the offense. So he helps out a ton.
Cruising. It's a 20-point win, 61-41, over Tremont for the sectional title. Plains will play Gibson City Melvin Sibley on Monday at UIS for a trip to state in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that was an awesome game for us. That was exciting. Yeah, that was an awesome game for us. Going into Gibson City, we knew they were a tough team to be in. That, we know how that game went. So.
As you watch that and see the celebration, like, what memories come back to that? And just knowing, you know, what you guys went through last year, and then kind of the unknowns of this year as well.
Well, we also had a foreign exchange student. He was throughout there, so he got to be a part of that, and that was cool. And it was just awesome getting to be with all of us seniors, juniors, and all. It was just awesome. So
you're not supposed to win a sectional by 20.
Yeah.
And you guys did.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Cause, well, at first, they were winning at one point, and then we came back and left them to 40, so that's a big part of, well, us, our size was a big part of that game, so.
What's the rest of the night like for you guys after that?
I think that, was that a Friday or something?
Probably.
I think we all went in town and ate somewhere. I don't know where we would have ate, but I'm pretty sure we all ate at town. So, it was a fun night for us. Enjoyable.
So that was your sophomore year. We saw what you did your junior year. What's the biggest thing that you've been working on since last season?
I'm just working on trying to get more mass and working on definitely trying to get as far as we can this year. I think we have the team to do it. But working on my passing and my scoring and dribbling. Definitely work on my dribbling a lot, because I'm not the greatest dribbler, but that's what I've been working on the most.
Well, you lose Corgan, you lose Nick, so
yeah.
You're going to have to take a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we don't have them. We don't have guard depth, but we have height depth. So we're going to have struggling with dribbling, but I think we'll manage through it. So
you mentioned putting on mass. What's your diet like right now, trying to get
it? People tell me I got to eat 3,000 some calories a day. It's just my stomach's end up being out here. End of the day, it's tough, but since I have such a fast metabolism, it's tough.
What have you been doing besides working on your game this summer in terms of, you know, who do you play for? Where have you guys gone, and kind of what have you played against?
I think we started, July is when we finally started getting going. We played for Illini Magic, the 17U this year. And so we've been going, traveling as much. We've been Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, Omaha, and just places like that, getting as much games as we can. And we practice every week. We've actually scrimmaged against a group of seniors, like Caden Froby, Gabe Cox, and Mason Mueller, and much of them. So that was fun.
But what was that game like?
That was tough because they had that Carter Sable kid. They were long and quick. So, but they didn't have subs, and we had subs, so we were gassing them out a little bit. So,
what are the expectations this year for Plains? Because I mean, assuming there's a regular season or somewhat regular season, guys like Nick and Joel and Corrigan have played for 3 years and they're gone.
So yeah.
Is it kind of a new look, a new team?
Yeah, it is completely new team because, well, I think you just got me and Mason Williams and Mason Watson, who really just started last year. Mm-hmm. They both interchanged, but it'll be a struggle at first, but I think we'll be able to manage it because we've always been a tight group since middle school and stuff like that, so I think we'll manage it. So.
How important is having a senior season for you in terms of your recruiting?
I think it's going to suck if we don't. I'm in a better case than most kids because I play summer basketball. Some kids don't even get the opportunity to play summer basketball, but it'll suck if we don't have a senior season.
Let's talk about your recruiting a little bit. Who have you reached out to, or who's reached out to you? What's the interest level?
It's really just all over the place. I've had several D1s reach out to me, D2s and D3s and JUCOs and NAIs. So it's just all been all over the place. I've been asked to come visit places and stuff like that. And some school, the D1, D2s obviously can't come visit yet because of the whole corona. I think D1s got pushed back to September, the end of September, and then D2s are finally starting to open up. So it's just all over the place right now. So
what's kind of on your checklist in terms of what you want from a school?
I definitely would like a fun environment. Just definitely fun to be around the team and always having fun on the basketball court. Good academics and just kind of somewhere close to home, but like not that close where I'm just like right into my back door. So I don't know.
What are you most excited for your senior year?
I'm excited to be with my friend or our group of team. In middle school, we went to state both years, 7th and 8th grade, and I'm just excited for all of us to finally be in that moment and sharing that moment and just hopefully, and they switched it to Illinois, University of Illinois, so that's our goal this year is to go to the state.
To have that success when you were younger, to have that success sophomore year, how much does that help you just in terms of experience and kind of knowing what it takes, that just that little extra bit to your last chance?
Most of us have seen it. I mean, most of us were on the varsity team, but not all of us played. But we've all been there and seen it, and we know what it takes to get to the next level. But we just gotta finish it. And so we haven't done that yet, so that's what we plan on doing.
That was Justin Guernsey for Live Rewind. Thanks for listening.